moments, maybe more than a few, we'll see. But there have been so many of us that have been dealing with sicknesses, dealing with surgeries, just overall health issues. Amen? I mean, you look around and see a lot of empty seats today where you can recognize that somebody is not in that seat today. They're homesick. Lindsay's been fighting this Achilles tendon thing for a long time. So much so that from pushing herself up, she's messed up her thumb, her hand. Willie's out today sick. Different ones, just sick. I watched Tim sit in that chair and cough and scares me sometimes. I wonder if he's coming back. But we just see all this stuff. I know some of us have had surgeries just recently. Some went in and had surgery with the full notion of having everything taken care of, only to find out maybe they didn't get everything, because what I went in for is still there. Those are things that we're dealing with today. And so I want to talk to you this morning about by His stripes. And I feel like that. Listen, I'm not a miracle worker. I've never claimed to be. I don't stand in this pulpit this morning and profess that God has blessed me with a healing ministry, but I have His Word. I have the authority of His Word that says, by His stripes. I have the authority of His Word that says that I can lay hands on the sick, anoint them with oil, and that they shall recover. I have that Word from God. And by faith, we are called to stand on the Word that He has given us. And whether that's easy or whether that's hard for you is not really the issue. It's what does my faith look like? Where's my stand at? Some of us are waiting for things that we've been praying for and praying for to come to fruition. Hallelujah. Listen, it's just around the corner. It's just over the bend. It's coming. Don't give up. Eleven men from old to young walked across a platform Friday night at that men's retreat and surrendered their life. Surrendered. Thank God for that. Thank God for it. But that's not the end. That's the beginning. Amen? So, Lord, this morning, I need You. We just sang about it. Lord, I need You. I need You to complete the healing that You've begun in my life, in my body, physically. God, that I could be, man, I need to be released, Lord, to do stuff. I'm going crazy. So, Lord, finish that work, not only in me, but in others that are post-operative. Lord, for Mary in the hospital this morning, God. She didn't ask for this, Lord. And I pray that You would heal her. For Carolyn at home recovering from the removal of these blockages in her arteries, Lord. I thank You for that. I pray that You would sustain her, give her strength. Lord, I pray for her eyes, oh God. For the tragedy that has happened, the events that have taken place, Lord, even in our community, Lord, that many of us don't even know about, Lord, but You do. There's a real enemy and he's really running crazy. And even at the end of the day, even in spite of that, Lord, You're still on the throne. Still we declare by Your stripes we are healed. There are those, Lord, that are in our midst, within our earshot today, Lord, that have watched loved ones graduate into glory. Lord, bring peace. Bring comfort. Lord, I thank You. There's better days ahead. And Father, I just want to commit all this to You in Your precious name, Lord. And everybody said amen and amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 53. You probably didn't see that coming. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. I might have to do some running, I don't know. Stand with me for the brief reading of God's Word, would you? Some of you are not going to be standing. That's quite all right. This message this morning is going to sound very much like a message that I preached a few weeks ago, because it just fits. And so don't think that I couldn't find anything else to preach on, because I could. But listen, Isaiah chapter 53, starting in verse 4, "Surely He has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him." And say it with me: "By His stripes we are healed." Father, we declare that this morning. We declare that by Your stripes we are healed. You took the stripes, we receive the benefit. So Lord, we just want to thank You this morning for that, and we give You the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen. And amen. You may be seated. I want you to see some things this morning in God's Word. Number one, I want you to understand that the suffering that Jesus went through was personal. The suffering that Jesus went through was personal. In fact, Isaiah 53 is often called the Gospel of the Old Testament, and it was written 700 years before Christ. But it describes the crucifixion in stunning detail. How'd that happen? It happened under the inspiration of Almighty God. It happened because there was prophetic words that were being spoken, and those things have come to pass. It describes it. The word "wounded," really means that He was pierced, and again, it was a fulfillment of prophecy in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He was pierced. In John 19 and 34, it says, "But one of the soldiers pierced His side with a spear, and when he did, blood and water began to flow." This piercing was done to make sure that Jesus was really dead. In those days, if the one being crucified didn't die on their time schedule, they would break their legs so that they would be suspended, and the cruelty of crucifixion was that in this position, when you're being crucified, it puts great pressure on your lungs, and you can't catch a breath, and so the only way to get a breath is to pull yourself up or push yourself up to release that a little bit so that you can get a breath. And then in And if they come and they break your legs, you can't push up because the pain is too severe. And so you're suspended and you suffocate, basically. This death that Jesus died, church, was personal. He saw you and you and you and me and us and all of you watching by way of the internet. He saw all of us. 1 Peter 2 and 24, He Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree. And be sure this was not just random suffering. It wasn't random. There was nothing random about it. The reality is, it was substitutionary. It was substitutionary suffering. He suffered for you and for me, man. Somebody ought to shout about that. Imagine for just a moment being in a courtroom and the verdict is delivered by a righteous judge. There was evidence presented. You're found guilty. Guilty as charged. Next comes the sentence. The sentence is death. And then suddenly, one man steps forward and says, I'll take his sentence. I'll take her sentence. I'll take their sentence. Substitutionary. Church, that's the message of the cross. We are preparing to celebrate Easter. Resurrection Sunday is just around the corner. Where He died, bore the stripes, took the abuse, the beating, died on the cross, buried in the grave. Yet resurrected 3 days later to win for you and I. See, He didn't suffer for His sins. He suffered for mine. And He suffered for yours. And I preached several weeks ago about Jonathan and about his armor bearer in 1 Samuel chapter 14, and if you remember back then in verse 6 of chapter 14, it says this: it may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. Listen, that works in a physical battle. It also works in spiritual battles. It also works in healing and all those kinds of things. Israel, once again, Israel was physically outnumbered. They were outmatched. They were weak and they were under-equipped. Does that sound like any of us today? For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. And honestly, sometimes that's exactly how we feel in our bodies. That's how I feel. I've been trying to get up and do some other things because sitting in a chair is not my idea of a good time. But I can tell you this, there's not very much stuff I can do that doesn't involve picking something up. And when they've got restrictions on you, you can't pick this up, you can't pick that up, you can't do this, you can't do that. What in the world? We're outnumbered, we're outmatched, we're weak, we're under-equipped. We see the diagnoses. Hello? And the diagnosis is bigger than our strength. Now what do I do? The diagnosis is bigger than my strength. The pain that we feel seems to be an entrenched kind of pain, and the prognosis sounds very final. But again, I have to take you back and remind you of the words that Jonathan said here in this sixth verse. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. So, if nothing restrains the Lord, that has to include disease. If nothing restrains the Lord, that has to include disease. It has to include chronic pain. It has to include a doctor's report. Remember the whose report are you going to believe? As for me and my house, we're going to believe the Lord. Has to include disease, has to include chronic pain, doctor's reports, not to mention long-standing conditions. Man, I've been dealing with this thing forever. Can I tell you this morning that the same God that shook the ground in 1 Samuel chapter 14 still moves today? He's still moving today. He's still on the throne. God is not limited by human weakness. God is not limited by the mistakes of a doctor. I heard the report of a knee surgery that went bad. I heard about it a few weeks ago, that they took a guy in, put him in the operating room, and got him all prepared and ready for surgery. And the anesthesiologist came in, the nurses was all in there, all the doctors were in there, everybody was in there. They were doing their thing, and this is the guy. I mean, you know, if you have surgery, they everybody and their dog comes in, signs where they're going to operate on you, because they want to make sure everybody knows that this is what we're really going to work on. So everybody signed that thing. They put him out, prepped his knee, full knee replacement, cut that puppy off, both ends, went and got the new knee to put in, and it was wrong. It was for the other knee. And so now, here we are. We don't have a leg to stand on. That's a really bad joke, but that poor guy had to lay there. I don't know what they did, but they had to hurry and get the right part to put him back to. Can you imagine that? I don't care how many degrees you've got, we're still human at the end of the day. Nothing restrains the Lord. Israel was physically outnumbered. They were outmatched. They were weak and they were under-equipped. Can I tell you something this morning? The same God, again, that shook the ground is still on the throne. See, God's not limited by human weakness. God is not limited by human weakness. Remember that Jonathan and his armor bearer, they had no army. They didn't have the advantage. They certainly had no superior strength. Yet God himself brought them through the victory. So how does this even relate to my sickness or my pain or my illness or my body? How does it relate to my surgery and my diagnosis? How about this? Your weakness is not a limitation to God. Your weakness is not a limitation to God. Isaiah 53 says, by his stripes I am healed. It doesn't specify. It just says I'm healed. So whatever it is that you need healed from, you need to apply this to it. Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3, in a nutshell says, who heals all your diseases, all of them. Remember the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. She had exhausted every medical option that was there. She had exhausted them all. For 12 years, she has been dealing with this situation. Jesus is coming through town. She hears about it. Jesus is not there for her. Jesus is on his way to another guy's house because he's got a sick kid. But this woman doesn't care where he's headed or why he's headed there. She has a need. And she puts aside every restriction. How many of you know that you've got restrictions on yourself? You've probably placed restrictions on yourself. This is far too much for Jesus. I don't know how I could ever do it. And so she leaves her house, which was wrong. She shouldn't have done that. Culturally, she shouldn't do that. Because she has an issue of blood, and so she has to be separate. She threw all that aside and said, listen, I got one shot at this. Goes out and touches. Do you realize that she touched the hem of his garment? See, it wasn't that's all that she could reach. It was the place of authority. The hem is what signified that the person's authority was in the hem. Much like the a soldier wears all their stuff, it was in the hem. And she touched his authority. She touched his authority. And Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples, I love the story. You've heard me say it 100 times probably. But they're like, what do you mean, who touched you? Look around. Everybody touched you. But the difference is, she touched him with purpose. She touched him with purpose. She reached out and touched. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. And she did. And her life was instantly changed. Instantly changed. By faith, 12 years of suffering was instantly changed in a moment. Can I tell you this morning that God's not intimidated by what medicine can't fix? God is not intimidated by what medicine can't fix. So how does faith move us towards healing? Remember 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 1. Jonathan said, let us go over. Jonathan took some steps. He didn't sit. Where was his dad? Remember where his dad was? The king? Sitting under a tree. Afraid. Jonathan didn't sit under a tree like his father did. Sometimes healing begins when we begin to move forward in faith. I remember on Friday night talking to a young man that was dealing with some stuff. And I told him that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And I said, but in order for him to order those steps, you got to be taking some steps for him to direct. Sometimes healing begins when by faith we begin to move forward. Maybe asking for prayer is the answer. Maybe coming to the altar for to be anointed is the answer. Or even believing again, even after disappointment. Sometimes we've been disappointed. This young lady's been disappointed for 12 years. She's went to every doctor in the county. She's done everything that she can do. She's spent all of her money trying to get healing. And listen, I want you to know that had to have been disappointing. To hear over and over and over, year after year after year, we can't do anymore. We can't do anymore. Listen, when they can't do anymore, that's when God oftentimes comes in. Believe again after disappointment. James chapter 5 and verse 14. Is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. This time next year, we might be close to this verse in our Wednesday night Bible study, but I'm not promising. James is encouraging the sick to call for the elders of the church for prayer. The elders pray over that sick person, calling on the name of the Lord for healing, and they anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And as the elders begin to pray, they were to voice clearly that the power for healing resided in the name of the Lord. It doesn't reside in the prayer. These faith healers that we see that take credit for what God does through them. Listen, our job is to invoke the power of God. Our job is to pray in the name of Jesus, not in the name of anybody else. They were to clearly voice that the power for healing resides in the name of Jesus. Anointing was used by the early church for prayer. In their prayers for healing, and in the scripture, oil is both a medicine and a symbol of the Spirit of God. The anointing is when you anoint someone, you're signifying the Spirit of God to rest on that person. Remember the Good Samaritan when he was when the guy was beat up and he was in the ditch, the Good Samaritan applied oil to him. Because it's also a medicine. Listen to what it says in Mark chapter 5, verse 35 and 36. And while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said this, "Your daughter is dead." Why trouble the teacher any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Only believe. Listen, they had just come from his house. It was to his house that Jesus was going when the woman with the issue of blood interrupted him and you know, got hers. Oh, don't mess with the teacher any longer. Don't trouble him any further. Jesus said, only believe. His words to Jairus, in the midst of crisis, speak to us. Don't be afraid. Just have faith. In Jesus, there is both hope and promise. In Jesus, there is both hope and promise. And the next time you feel hopeless and afraid, look at your problem from Jesus' point of view. Don't be afraid. Have faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith. Do you have now faith? Or do you have yesterday faith? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's a wonderful, well-known chapter. Faith is explained as the confident assurance that what we hope for is in fact going to happen. So often we want it to happen right now in my time frame. Sometimes Jesus has a different time frame than you and I do. And we struggle with that in our humanness. But faith starts with believing in God's character, that He is who He said He is. That's His character. And faith culminates with believing in God's promises, that He will do what He said He will do. And so in Mark chapter 5, we find the story of a paralytic man who has four friends. You need friends like this guy has. You need this kind of friends. They brought him to Jesus because he needed healing. But they couldn't get to Jesus because of everybody else that was already there. So now what do we do? Well, these guys didn't wait around. These guys climb up on the top of the house, dig a hole in the roof, and let the guy down in front of Jesus from the roof. Who's going to fix that? And the Bible says in chapter 2 and verse 5, Jesus said, when Jesus saw their faith, had nothing to do with the guy on the pallet. Jesus saw their faith, and he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. It's a story. It's a fantastic story of the faith of those that are surrounding this young man. And because of their faith and their tenacity, he got his healing. He got delivered. He got set free. Back to Jonathan. Verse 6, again, nothing restrains the Lord. Nothing restrains the Lord. So here's the thing that we have to get a hold of here this morning. Jonathan didn't say, well, if we're strong enough. He didn't qualify it by saying if we're strong enough. He didn't even go so far as to say, well, if we have the numbers. What he did say was an absolute declaration of faith. For nothing restrains the Lord. Nothing restrains the Lord. So how do we apply this morning as I try and wind this up? How does this apply? How can I apply all that we've talked about to my life? Listen, cancer does not restrain the Lord. He's bigger than cancer. Why have we lost loved ones to cancer? I don't have the answer for that. I don't know why everybody doesn't get healed. I don't know why. But I know some have. I know some have been delivered and set free. He didn't say if we're strong enough. Why does cancer does not restrain him? Nerve damage does not restrain him. Autoimmune disorders do not restrain him. Not even chronic pain restrains him. Why am I still suffering from some of those things, Pastor? I don't know. I don't know, and I don't claim to know. All I know is what He said in His Word. Nothing restrains the Lord. You might be healed on the way home today. By faith, you might come to these altars this morning at the end of this service, and God might meet you right here. You may walk away from here never the same again, ever. By faith. Acts 3 and 6, Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Listen, when he said, "Silver and gold I do not have," understand one thing. The man didn't need money. He needed a touch from God. He needed the power of the Holy Spirit to surge through his body. And I'm here to tell you this morning, God still has the power. Amen. Someone shared with me the other day, said, "I want to be so full of Jesus that if a mosquito bites me, he flies away singing 'Power in the Blood.'" Oh, man. Think about that next time you smack a mosquito. See, God has the power. And when Jonathan and his armor bearer climbed up that rock cliff, they did so on their hands and on their knees. Why is that significant? It's significant because that is a position of vulnerability. They were vulnerable. Listen, us guys, some of us guys have been in locker room scraps. We've been on the football field or whatever, and you know what I'm talking about? Some of us. We don't do that on our hands and knees. We stand up. Because when you stand up, that's when you're in your power and your authority. When you're on your hands and knees, man, that's a hard place to try and fight from. Am I right? That's a hard place. It's a place of vulnerability. And healing requires humility, and it requires admitting that I need prayer. I need Jesus. I need prayer. I'm admitting that I'm tired. I'm tired of sitting in a chair, not being able to just do whatever I want to do. Guys, you can plug your ears if you want on this one. But you and I might even need to admit that we can't fix ourselves. That's hard for a guy, because we fix stuff. That's what we do. We know things and we fix stuff. But there's some things that we can't fix. This is one of them sometimes. And when Jonathan climbed, the Bible said that the ground shook and that there was trembling in the camp. And sometimes heaven begins to move when someone declares and someone dares to believe again. That woman left her house with the issue of blood because she dared to believe that if she could just get to Jesus. The people from the ruler's house came and said, "Listen, don't bother him anymore. She's dead." Jesus said, "Hey, only believe." Personally, I'm glad, and I'm pretty sure the guy that was the paralytic was pretty glad that when they packed him up to the front door of the home where Jesus was at, and sucks to be you, can't get in there. It's full. We can't get you in there. One guy says, "Let's cut a hole in the roof." Do what? Let's cut a hole in the roof.
How about that?
And let's just drop him down. Yeah. Right. I mean,
you want to be dropped down?
They can't. No, I. I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know if this is going
to
work.
I'm supposed to be quiet. Lower down, not drop.
Just think with me for a moment about what that looked like. Those roofs in those days were made out of mud and straw and sticks. I don't think they let him down by the back door. I'll get there.
Debris.
I know what she's talking about. I got it.
Are we having fun yet?
They cut a hole in the roof right over the top of where Jesus was at.
They didn't have a chainsaw either.
No. They didn't need one. And I've tore up enough stuff to know that, you know, gravity takes over and stuff begins to fall. It had to begin to fall down around Jesus and around all those who were there. And you can imagine that there were probably some indignant people in the house.
Yeah.
What do they think they're doing? They're destroying my house. Jesus never steps into that realm. He just says, hey man, your faith, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has made you. These guys dropped him right. And Jesus, they kind of put him on the spot. We can put him on the spot. I just think it's an amazing story. Heaven begins to move when we dare to believe again. Listen, every Old Testament victory points to Jesus. Our ultimate healing begins at the cross. Come on, Kathy. John. Our ultimate healing begins at the cross. He bore our sin. He bore our sickness. And he bore our stripes. One more. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now listen to me just for a moment. There must be balanced truth about healing. I say unequivocally, I say absolutely by faith that by his stripes we're healed. I've prayed for a lot of people with a lot of all kind of disease. Cancers, all different kinds of cancers. I've seen some set free and I've seen some go to glory. And I remember in particular one time I was in the hospital in Salt Lake City, Utah. And I was praying for a lady that was a part of our church, and she had brain cancer, brain tumor. And I was calling some other people that I felt would pray with me in agreement. And one of those people challenged me and said, well, what if God doesn't heal her? And I said, well, I got news for you. He's going to heal her. He's going to heal her. She told anybody that would stop long enough to listen to her, and even if they didn't stop, she'd tell them about Jesus on her way by. She was so certain that God still had work for her to do that as she is laying there in pain and misery with this tumor in her head, knowing, you know, that outside of a miracle, she's in trouble. And she just kept telling the doctors and the nurses, God's going to heal me. God's going to heal me. He's still got work for me to do. He's still got stuff for me to do. And that was her, that was on her lips the whole time. And someone said, well, what if he doesn't heal her? I said, she's going to be healed. We were believing for on this side of the river, if you know what I mean. We were believing for here in this life. But whether it's here in this life or whether it's in the presence of God, God's going to heal you. There's not going to be cancer in heaven. I don't know if that's a shock to you or not, but there's not. There's not going to be disease and sickness and pain and tears and all that kind of stuff in heaven. God's going to set that stuff off. Let me close with this. God heals instantly. Yeah? Hang on to that. Because God also heals gradually. Can I tell you this morning that there's a difference between a miracle and a healing? A miracle happens just like that. Healing takes time. So God heals instantly, yet he heals gradually. And God sometimes sustains us through the suffering. But at the end of the day, God's always good. One of our own, church, is in harm's way right now. Bill and Tabitha's son, Andrew, has been deployed to the region where the war's going on. They deployed him. They called him out. They put him in a place. They don't know where. I just got this from Andrew's wife that he has arrived at a new undisclosed location. They are actively being bombed and spending most of the last 2 hours in bunkers. Out of this house, fighting for the freedoms that we enjoy in this house. Lord, we lift Andrew right now before another word is said. We lift Andrew to you right now, and all of his comrades, all of his soldiers in arms, oh God. Lord, we ask you to divinely cover them, divinely protect them, oh God. I pray that you would put your Holy Spirit around them. God, station warring angels to deflect the incoming bombs and missiles and whatever else, the drones, everything that is being levied against them, oh God, and against all of our troops, Lord. Deflect them, oh God, I pray. Lord, we speak safety over Andrew right now. Right now. Right now, Lord. I pray for a mom and a dad. I pray for a mom and a dad. So far removed. As a dad, how can I help my son? Only by prayer. Only by trusting that God is going to have his hand on them. Lord, for a mom whose heart breaks for her child, she'd like to shelter in her arms but can't because he's on foreign soil and we don't even know where. But God, you know where. Watch over him. Protect him. And keep him. In Jesus' name. Church, sometimes God sustains us through the suffering. God is a good, good, good God. If you're here today and you're believing God for a touch in your body, can I tell you this morning, you're not climbing toward an enemy. You're climbing toward a miracle. You're climbing toward your miracle. Don't sit under a tree today. Don't listen to the culture that says you can't come out from your house. You've got to stay in your house. You've got to shelter in place. Jesus is passing by. Hey, can you play that song?
Jesus is passing
He's
by.
He's passing by this very hour.
Reach out.
Yeah, that one.
And touch the Lord as He passes.
Listen,
you will find He's not too busy.
If you need this this morning, just stand on your feet and reach out and touch the Lord.
To hear your
heart cry.
Passing by this moment,
He's passing by this moment.
Your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord.
Reach out and touch the Lord.
As He walks by.
As He goes by.
Reach out.
Reach out.
Touch the Lord.
Touch the Lord.
As He passes by.
Passes by.
You will find He's not too busy.
You will find He's not too busy.
To hear your heart's cry.
Your heart's
He's passing
cry.
By this moment.
Passing by this
your
moment.
Need to supply.
Reach out and touch the Lord.
As He walks by.
Listen, you can be seated just for a minute. Let me ask you this, church. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you don't know this Jesus that we're talking about, you don't know if you're saved or unsaved, you don't know about heaven, you don't know, but you've heard enough today to know that you need something different. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need to commit my life to Jesus. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up. Yes, ma'am. Anybody else? Preacher, I need to get saved today. Anybody else? Maybe you've been saved and today you say, Lord, I've got to recommit my life. I want to recommit, rededicate my life to you. If that's you, raise your hand. I'm going to pray with you too. Yes, ma'am. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Listen, if you raise your hand real quick, I want you to just come right here to this altar. Come on. Come on. Come right here right quick.
Jesus, you are Lord. I give you all my heart. Okay.
Listen.
Reach out.
The Bible says, where two or three are gathered together, He is in our midst. And this morning is your opportunity to reach out and touch the Lord. Get a hold of it. Touch the hem of His garment. That place of authority that says, listen, if I just reach out, He's going to save me. He's going to set me free. Peter was sinking. He was going under, but he reached out and he got a hold of the Lord. So this morning, I want you to just have that thought in your mind as you pray this prayer. Dear Lord, I'm reaching out for You today. My anchor, my hope, my deliverer, my redeemer. Help me to live from today for eternity, serving You, walking with You, being taught by You. And I thank You for it. Write my name fresh and new in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'll give You the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, listen. While these guys are being ministered to, I want to ask this question. Remember what it says in James chapter 5? If there are any sick among you, let them call for the elders to anoint them with oil and pray the prayer of faith. Whether you're sick, whether you're hurt, whether you're in pain, the bad diagnoses, I don't care what it is. This morning, we've got people that want to pray with you. And if you'll come, stand at this altar, we will anoint you and pray and believe God for your touch this morning. Come on.
He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He was by.
Touch Him, Lord.
Reach out.
Touch Him, Lord.
And touch the Lord as He passes by.
You